This morning we have two speakers bringing the challenge to us, and first up is Brother Jean Groth, and he will be sharing with us this morning. Looking forward to hear your testimony, brother. Come and bless.
When a few months ago we had a Bible study in our house in Luxembourg, and Pastor Tim Heiermans, who is with us here today, also mentioned to me the possibility and the opportunity of coming over here and participating in the missionary week, I really felt my heart burdened to come over here. And I must admit I did not exactly know how it would be. But I realize now again, as so often before in my life already, that the Lord has always a purpose in whatever he burdens us with, and he always uses it for an opportunity to really serve him and also to grow in him. And it's the Lord who creates these opportunities. So I'm very thankful that I had this possibility to come here and to worship with you. And that's already the first opportunity I find the Lord has been using. It has been a tremendous encouragement for me to experience this visible expression of the worldwide aspect of the body of Christ, coming here, worshiping with you, the same way we worship in Luxembourg, singing the same songs we sing on our Sunday services, and also the commitment I have seen with the people here, with your leaders, with the testimony of the missionaries, and with all the people I have met in your congregation, including my hosts who have been so kind to me and who did not know me. That's an expression of the body of Christ, feeling at home with a person you have never met before, but with whom you share the same faith. So that's the first opportunity I take home, and this is something that will make a difference in my life after I have returned, I can assure you. And I will many times still think about this and also pray about it, both thankfully and also for how you will move on in this congregation. I think the other opportunity God has provided is also for me to come here and testify how God has been working in Luxembourg, in my country, through the work of the missionaries that you have been supporting. So basically the fact that I'm standing here is the fruit of your support, which you have given to Pastor Tim and Kathy, their commitment to the Lord, and how they interacted in my life when I most needed it. And that's something I started to realize when, with our youth group, we were going through the book of Acts, and we were studying how the young church was formed then, and I realized more and more how much this has been an ongoing work, these handful of men who set out in Jerusalem to preach the gospel to all nations, like it says in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of every nation. And I know we are saying this over and over, but I find it cannot be repeated enough, because it's like a beautiful picture. After you have looked at it, you don't put it in the drawer. You put it on your wall and you look at it again and again to be encouraged by it. And I find the fact that this has really happened and it's going on, and the missionaries testify about it every day this week, that's the great assurance we can have that the promise God gave of his Spirit is alive and that it works. And if God is a God who keeps all the promises, then we can also be assured that all the promises that have not yet been fulfilled will be fulfilled, and we can trust him that all he has really written will be done in due time until the glorious return of Jesus Christ, his Son, and our presence in him. And wow, what a perspective and what an assurance we have there. So please allow me to share briefly with you the experiences I had, how God has worked in my life. And I was born in 1957 in Luxembourg in a somewhat protected environment. I grew up in a Roman Catholic family. We used to go to church on a regular basis. I did, though, not experience a personal relationship with Christ. I identified the church much more with the building than with God's people. And that's exactly the contrary of what I experience now in coming here. I look at the building, but I see the people who are forming the church. I was able to do good studies, and I had a good job. And I think in that time something must have gone terribly wrong in my life, because I lost more and more interest in anything spiritual, and I was just preoccupied with myself. I was the first Luxembourgish ever to own a PC in 1978, I believe, and we didn't even call it a PC then, we called it a PET, a personal electronic transactor. And my next PC was smarter and more colorful, so that was an Amiga. And my friends were teasing me about that, but it is a fact, and I realize it more and more. I was drifting into isolation, and you can become very self-centered, self-focused, and remote to the world if you spend too much time with these devices. And that's a risk that I realize more and more with our young generation today, as these devices have multiplied. And I became quite introverted. At the age of 30, I was not married. I would have loved to be married, but I didn't really know so many people. I was traveling the world extensively, but lonely. And I think that's the first time God decided to move me out of my comfort zone. Because at the same time, he moved a young Filipina lady in the Philippines to visit her aunt in Luxembourg, who was married to a French person who was the head of the computer service of the stock exchange. And so through computers and personal relations with this person, I got to meet her. And we did not fall immediately in love, but we started to cooperate together in a charity that was oriented towards the Philippines, and which a close friend of mine had founded. I had been going with him to school, and we were also working together, so it was natural for us to join there. And as we were working together, we grew to know each other better, we developed respect. And so things went. After a couple of years, we found out we were in love, and we got married in 1990. We had two children in 1992. We had a boy in 1996. We had a girl. And we continued to go still to the Catholic Church, but less and less frequently, for the simple reason that there's no English presence in the Catholic Church in Luxembourg. So my wife met the English-speaking ladies' Bible study with Kathy Hiermans, and she used to go there on a regular basis, and God prepared her for what was ahead. And what was ahead was indeed a wake-up call for both of us, because in the year 2000 I took over the charity we had been members of, and 2 years later, suddenly our house got searched by the police. My phone communications in the office were monitored, and we had no communication. We found out that the person who had founded the charity, our friend, had been involved in a serious crime. And the police were thinking that since we were so close to them and we had taken over the association, we might be involved. Now, that's a shock, especially for a young woman who is married to somebody isolated in a foreign country. And it was a shock to me, too. We had both emotional stress and distress, and we were not able to deal with that alone. And it was such a blessing that at this time, my wife knew already Kathy. I had met Pastor Tim a couple of times, but never thought that I really needed to hear the gospel. But God had prepared us. He did not create this event, but he used it very well. We were invited in their house. We talked, and we heard the real message of the gospel, talked about forgiveness and sinfulness. We realized how sinful we are ourselves, and that preoccupied us after that much more than other problems we had, so we needed to react to that. And within a pretty short distance with what we knew, what we had heard, this time we heard the gospel with understanding. And it went to our heart, not just to our ears. We were saved pretty much within a few months. We were baptized together in the year 2004. 6 months later, we joined Christian Community Church because God really burdened us to serve, and we enjoyed that so much. A couple of years later, I became a deacon, and ever since, we have been involved in God's work in the Christian Community Church. And that has been a great blessing to all of us, because we have found a joy that we have never experienced before. So may I just tell you a few of the ministries we have been doing, and that again shows God's grace. One of the first things I was doing was a simultaneous translation into Luxembourgish. And I believe that's a blessing God sent to me, because it encouraged me to really listen well to Pastor Tim's sermons and even prepare them the night before. But it's also a matter of grace of God to allow me to use the skills I had acquired in languages in traveling before. They were not as wasted as I thought at a certain time. God was able to use it even later in my life, just as I agreed to put them at his disposal. And a little later, we started taping the sermons and making them available on an electronic form to the people of our church who could not come. Once again, I think it's a matter of grace of God, because he used me even to use those computer skills I had acquired a couple of decades ago. And that's how I see that whenever we are ready for it, we can really serve God with all our heart. There have been other ministries that have followed. We have very often counseled people in our environment who are in trouble. Luxembourg is a very troubled country. We have lots of people who suffer from depressions. And what we try to do is we try not to give them good advice, because there's so many who do that, and you can even buy good advice on the bookshelf. But what we give them is what was given to us, God's Word. And that's the only one that can make a difference in a person's life. Then the major ministry we have really taken over in the last years was the youth group. And once again, I think it's God's grace that he equipped us for that. I did not feel a natural youth leader as the introverted person I had been 20 years before. But the excitement of studying God's Word together with the young people has just helped me to overcome that. And we preach them the gospel on a regular basis, trying to make sure that they also hear with their hearts. And I'm amazed when I listen to your ministry. You don't have to have ears to hear. You have to have a heart to hear. And that's where God's message goes. So we make sure that our young people realize that it's God who created the world. That's not what they are told in school. We make sure that they understand that they are sinners. That's not what society tells them. Society tells them they have every right to fulfill their own needs. And then we have to tell them that only God could send the Savior, and he did so by sending Jesus Christ, who went to the cross for the atonement of our sin, and that there needs to be a response, trusting Christ. And trusting somebody in Luxembourg is something that's not common anymore. It's not a trust-based society. So trusting Christ and living out this trust, repenting, that's something that's very important. That's one of the discussions we have with the youth group. What does it really mean to repent? Because repenting is more than the superficial saying, I'm sorry if my son has been mean to my daughter, and not doing anything about it. But repenting is saying, I'm sorry, I want to spend more time with you. I really regret what I have done, being devastated about what we have been doing. And that's a feeling my wife and me, we had, being devastated about our past, and being encouraged about the future we have with Christ. So that's the one that we are trying to convey to our children in a very passive society, that repentance means action. And repentance also is the sign of understanding. And repentance leads to a changed life. You cannot repent and continue doing the same thing. That's what we teach them. So they ask us, what shall we do? And we tell them 1 Peter 1:15. Just as he who called you is holy, be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because he is holy. And then they ask us, what does it mean to be holy? And we tell them, well, to be holy means to be reserved. And so they look at us sometimes with big eyes, reserved for God, what does it mean? And we tell them, well, being reserved is not extracting yourself and doing nothing. But reserved is making what you have available for a purpose. It's not that the table in a restaurant where it says reserved will never be used again. It will be used for a specific purpose which has already been planned before. That's why there's the sign reserved. And so that's this excitement we try to convey to them, to use what they have and to use the skills they are equipped with, to use the time God gives them, to use the education God gives them for his purpose. And this thought is something which we are really working on with them, to make sure that they are not time wasters, resource wasters. God can use everything as he did in our life. And so I'm very thankful for him to have brought me to this ministry and allowed me to do that. And it's something that I realize more and more in connection also with the Missionary Week. Our young people can be encouraged to be missionaries just within their neighborhood, because it says so that all may hear and all are around us. I tell them, look at the planes, look at the tracks of the jets. People are traveling. You don't have to go to the end of the world. Sometimes people of the end of the world come to you. Unsafe people are among us. And so I hope that many of them one day will be missionaries and travel to all the exciting places of the world. But they can start right away now with their neighbors. And that's something we want to give them. My life can be a little bit summarized in what I find in John 15:15. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And that's true for me. And I appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain. So whatever you may ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. And so that's what our life now is, prayerful, asking the Father and thanking him for being instrumental in his name. So let us pray. Almighty Lord, Father, we humbly bow our heads before you. We praise you for the sacrificial act of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, who died for our sins, and whom you have risen on the third day. He has bought us with his precious blood and ended that terrible separation from you. We commit to your service, O Lord of Lords. Take us and make us your instruments in bringing this joyful message to people of all nations, be it here among our neighbors, or wherever you burden our hearts to go and witness to the people you have chosen.